taking this service and the following service. We're calling it Promotion Sunday. We're wanting to introduce as well as promote the Harvest America that's coming this summer, August 26th. But I thought, let's pray, and then I'll tell you where we're going with this. And you might want to, while we're doing that, find yourself a great seat so you can see the screens. We're going to be showing a couple of short DVDs in our presentation here. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we're thankful to be able to be a part of this, Lord. And so we lift up this entire project to you, Lord. We pray for Pastor Greg Laurie and all the details that are going on there, Lord, for Harvest Crusades. Pour your Spirit upon America, Lord. And we pray that thousands upon thousands of churches would literally take up and open up their doors for their cities, for their towns, for their neighbors to come and hear the message, Lord. Lord, encourage us this morning and show us where we might fit into this. We pray for our neighbors, our loved ones, our family members that don't know you, that they might come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, give us boldness to tell others about you, Lord, and to invite them to this event. And we ask it all. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how many of you have heard of Pastor Greg Laurie from Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California? A lot of you have. How many of you listen to Pastor Greg's radio program, A New Beginning? If you don't, you can listen to it on CSN 87.9 in town here or 106.1 weekdays at 7 a.m. How many of you have heard of Pastor Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusades? A lot of you. How many of you have been to one or more of these crusades? Well, we're bringing it to town. It's going to be awesome. My family and I attended the first three of the crusades starting back in 1990 while we were living there. We attended the first three of them before we moved up here in 1992, and we had the opportunity to attend last year's Harvest Crusade at Anaheim Stadium while we were on vacation. Pastor Greg has been putting on these Harvest Crusades for the last 23 years in the United States, in California, Washington, Ohio, Oregon, Illinois, New York, South Dakota, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Hawaii, you can't miss Hawaii, Arkansas, Florida, Colorado, Texas, and New Mexico. Pastor Greg has also held dozens of Harvest Crusades in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. At last year's Harvest Crusade in Anaheim, California, on three nights, 115,000 people attended, and 11,000 people made decisions for Christ. Isn't that great? At last year's Harvest Crusade in Los Angeles, California, this was a first time for there. In one night, 50,000 people attended, and 6,000 people made decisions for Christ. That's in one night. This year, Pastor Greg has a vision to simulcast his August 26th Harvest Crusade at Anaheim Stadium live via internet and or satellite feed to as many venues as possible in America, including churches, auditoriums, and homes. At this moment, I would like to read you the letter that Pastor Greg sent to a lot of the pastors in our country. He says, "It's been 23 years since Pastor Chuck approached me with the idea of mobilizing Calvary Chapels in Southern California to hold a community-wide event called Summer Harvest. As we look back now, we can see how God's hand was on that simple idea and how it blossomed into what are now the Harvest Crusades. More than 4.5 million people have attended these outreaches, and some 375,000 have made professions of faith. To God be the glory. At a recent meeting with Pastor Chuck, I suggested a new idea. He liked it, and I thought that I should share it with you. It's called Harvest America. in brief, what it entails, advances in HD streaming technology make it possible to use the platform of Anaheim's Angel Stadium as a launch site for a nationwide presentation of the gospel. We will link churches around the country via satellite and HD quality web streaming to present the gospel simultaneously around the country. One day, one church, one message. Isn't that a great logo? One day, one church, one message. We will ask the churches to provide their own host, live worship, and if they choose, guest artists. And then join us on the live stream for the proclamation of the gospel. We will provide pre-event training for all churches through a website. We are now assembling at harvestamerica.com. There will be a series of pre-event live stream training and prayer meetings. In short, all of the tools that a church will need to host a successful evangelical outreach will be made available on our site. Our launch date is February 1st, but a pre-registration is currently underway at that site. There is no cost. This is an efficient method of delivering the gospel, as the only thing a church will need is an internet access with sufficient bandwidth. Along with churches and small groups, individuals can host their own neighborhood crusade through as many or number of portable devices that have access to the internet, such as Roku Box. I've never even heard of that. Maybe I'm just ruining the pronunciation. We will also access Facebook and other social media networks to drive people to the website. The date will be August 26th, 2012. The crusade will start earlier here on the West Coast, 4 p.m., in order to accommodate the East Coast time difference. Please start to pray now as, once again, we step out in faith. By our estimation, we can potentially reach 5 million people in live stream venues with the gospel in the next 1,000 days. That's more people in 3 years than we've reached in 22 years of Harvest Crusades. And then he signs the letter. What a great opportunity that we have to be able to do this. At Calvary Chapel, Reno Sparks, here we've already registered to host the America Harvest simulcast here at our church on August 26th. And we're using both of our Sunday morning services today in order to rally the troops, to inform the church, to strategize, to mobilize the church. And I hope that God will work in all of us, that we all catch the vision. We have two short videos that we wanted to show the entire church. And we've also asked our junior high and high school students to join us as well. We want to see as many young people, especially, come to Christ at this event as possible. In our first video, in a moment he's going to turn the lights down here, but this first video, it's 8.5 minutes. It's the 2011 Harvest Crusade at Anaheim Stadium, the video here. I mentioned that my wife and I went to one of those crusades. It was a Friday evening, last year's crusade. We were especially touched by Bethany Hamilton and her testimony. It just was so powerful. One more short video. This is 4.5 minutes. This has to do with the promotion of Harvest America. Well, you don't have to ask me if we're going to do it. We're doing it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We'd be foolish not to. What a great opportunity. Well, I wanted to let you know some of the things that we've done already, some of the things that we're doing in preparation for this event. We already have an event coordinator, Mark Brown. Would you stand up? Be praying for this man. Yeah. We're already praying. We are having two live musical artists, Sherry Youngward. A lot of you have been here when she's come out before, and a group that's geared towards our young people called I Am They, as well as our own worship team. They're going to be part of this venue. We're installing a third video screen on our stage. that's going to make these look like your phone. It's going to be awesome. Bigger than we already have. We're going to run all three of them during this event. We're installing new lighting in the front of our stage area for an altar call. We're going to light up the whole front of this stage here. We sent out email invitations to 13 other churches in the Reno-Sparks area, inviting them to themselves be a part of Harvest America in their own churches. And we're going to do everything that we can to try and help them. Please be praying for them. Satan does not want this happening. He does not want one day, one church, one message. He wants us to fight amongst ourselves, and we're tired of it. We're also planning to advertise this event through posters and handbills, and then a few weeks prior to the event, maybe a month before the event, we're going to be putting it on CSN radio. You'll be heard advertised on TV. And we were praying this morning, thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a full-size billboard on the 395 saying Harvest America, with the phone numbers and the times and the addresses of all the churches in town that are going to be doing that. We're also going to host here at our church on August 5th at 4 p.m. a startup rally with Pastor Greg, in which Pastor Greg will be speaking about personal evangelism as well as personal discipleship. You don't want to miss that. And so starting this morning, we are gearing up to do all of those things. Our intention is to pray for people, people that we know don't know the Lord, our family members, our friends, neighbors, co-workers, and then to invite them to come and to actually go and pick them up and bring them if necessary. Encourage them to come to Christ and then disciple them after they've made a decision for Christ. That's the goal. I also wanted to share with you some of the areas where we as a church can be involved personally. We are having prayer meetings for Harvest America on the second and fourth Sundays of the month from now on until the actual event. One after the first service in the front lobby at 10:15, and a second one after the second service in the third and fourth grade room. That's at 12:15. We'll be mentioning those in next week's service as well. Secondly, prayer clouds. You can get on harvestamerica.com website, and they have what's called prayer clouds, and you can place the name of the people that you're praying for, add the names of the people you're praying for and intending to invite to Harvest America event. Of course, you want to do that on something as well and keep it in front of your face all the time to be praying for them. Thirdly, those who Facebook and Twitter can follow Pastor Greg in spreading the word about Harvest America. Fourthly, there's going to be opportunities in our church to serve. We're going to be needing greeters, ushers for this event, prayer teams, as well as follow-up teams. We're going to be taking sign-ups for those as time goes on. We're also going to do what we can to help defray the cost of something like this for Harvest Crusades. You can imagine the cost of satellites. I mean, I don't know how many it's going to take to follow this whole thing across the United States in that 3 to 4 hour time venue. And so we're going to get involved. I hope that you take this seriously, and we're praying like crazy that God will give us vision and passion for the lost, particularly in our own town, and that many others will do the same thing. Well, I'd like at this moment to, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. I just want to speak for a few moments about what this means to us. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The Apostle Paul said, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And so in order to be saved, what's in a person's heart must come out of their mouth. A faith and trust in Jesus Christ deep in a person's heart will come out in the way of a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that word confess simply means to agree, but beyond that, it means to profess. It's not something that we can do in a corner. If it's genuine, then we won't mind confessing Jesus Christ publicly. If it's really in here, then it can't help but come out. And when we do that, when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you can't be saved without believing in the resurrection. Then as the Bible says, you shall be saved. And that term there, that phrase, you shall be saved, is passive, meaning that the means of salvation is God. God is the one that does this. You just need to agree with him and confess with your mouth what's in your heart. We don't save ourselves. God saves us in response to our believing in Jesus Christ and our confessing him as Lord and Savior. The believing is inward and the confession is outward, and both of those things are necessary. Some people miss this thing because they won't go all the way. But it's an outward confession of what's an inward commitment. In verse 10, Paul said, "For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says," this is written in the Old Testament, "whoever believes on him," that is in Jesus Christ, "will not be put to shame." So whoever believes in him, not in yourself, not in your own performance, not in your own abilities, will not be disappointed. God will not disappoint those of us who have prayed and asked Jesus to come and be the Lord and Savior of our lives. We've made those confessions. Those that commit themselves to Jesus Christ will never be let down. For there's no distinction between the Jew or the Greek. As far as salvation is concerned, God's way of salvation is for everyone. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, "For the same Lord over all is rich to all," here it is again, "who call upon him." Have you called upon the name of the Lord in the way that are talking about here this morning? You can't do this thing in a corner. And then in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There are absolutely no exceptions to that. No one's excluded. But you have to call upon the name of the Lord. It has to be not just with your mouth. It has to be something that's come from your heart. And only those that call in the name of the Lord are saved. And unfortunately, not everybody does that. You have to ask God in order to be saved. And you have to ask on God's terms. People don't get saved by osmosis. They don't get saved just by coming to church. You can't be saved unless you call upon the name of the Lord, a response from the heart. And God, praise God, has a plan to save people. First of all, they've got to be given the opportunity to be saved, to make a decision for Christ. And that's what this Harvest America is all about. You're going to be able to invite people, and they're going to hear a clear presentation of the gospel message and be given a clear opportunity. And if you've ever been to a Harvest Crusade, or maybe you've been to one of Billy Graham's crusades, I've been to two of his, it's amazing how simple the message is and how powerful the altar call is, because most of the work has been done beforehand through prayer. That's why we're starting now, 5 months ahead, to have these prayer meetings. But look at verse 14. We mentioned that they have to have an opportunity. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? That's a great question. And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? Again, salvation doesn't come by intuition. There needs to be a clear message preceding saving faith, a clear message in order to make a decision for Christ. You want to know how people are going to hear that message, the message of the gospel, in order to respond to it? Well, here it is in the second part of verse 15. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." And so the message requires a messenger, and we're all supposed to proclaim the gospel message. And if you've been sitting in a Bible teaching and preaching church, then you are equipped. But we have an enemy who doesn't want us to open our mouths. Have you felt the pressure from Satan? The message of the gospel has been going out for hundreds of years, and it's gone everywhere. The gospel is for everyone. That's why Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And that's why Jesus told his disciples that after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you will be witnesses to me, beginning in Jerusalem, then to Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. We need to have a message, and we need to be anointed by God's Holy Spirit to share that message. And so the reason we share the message of the gospel is because when a person hears the message and they believe it from here, and they call upon the name of the Lord in a confession from the mouth, and God will save them. Don't ever forget that he saves everyone who calls upon his name in that fashion. Jesus told his disciples, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. And now God uses us who are born again to share our faith, to share the message of the gospel with non-believers. That's how those that haven't heard are going to hear. Look at verse 16. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. Not everybody that hears the message is going to be excited about it. That's the truth. True faith, saving faith has to have obedience with it. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, he's taken us back to the Old Testament again, Lord, who has believed our report? Who's believed the message? Because it's been going out. The answer, of course, is that not everybody who hears the message will believe it. In fact, many won't. You can be sent, you can preach the message of the gospel, but not everybody's going to believe. And Paul sums this up in verse 17 by saying, so then, faith. The kind of faith we're talking about here that saves a person, faith that's from the heart, that's true, kind of faith that produces salvation, comes by hearing. It doesn't come any other way. But the idea with that word hearing is an attentive listening with the idea of obeying. And hearing comes by the word of God. Hearing the message of the gospel through God's word. That it's so simple that people think they've got to do all kinds of things to drum this thing up. But it's so simple and yet so powerful. Faith comes by hearing. And so in our evangelism, in our efforts to share Christ with people, we've got to communicate the gospel clearly in order for those people to make the kind of commitment that's necessary for salvation. Well, the question was asked, how are they going to preach unless they're sent? And of course, Jesus answered that question before he ascended into heaven after his crucifixion and resurrection, before his ascension. He said in Matthew 28:18, and most of us know this. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've told you, that I've commanded you. And then Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always. When you and I decide we're going to go tell our neighbor, it's not easy. When we decide we're going to go talk to our boss about Christ or our employees, whatever the situation, our family members, the Lord has promised to be with us. We go not alone, we go with the Lord, and there's a power there. And then you let the message rest on them, and then you pray like crazy. You pray before, you pray during, and you pray after, and that's where we're at. And so the appeal to us this morning is, first of all, we need to pray. I would encourage you to start going to one or the other of these prayer meetings that are going to be every second and fourth Sunday, and we're praying that we're going to start doing them every Sunday if necessary. First of all, we need to pray. Then we need to invite people. Start thinking about people around you that you know don't know the Lord and that might come to something like this when you invite them. And then we need to bring those people. See, it's possible to start praying for them and you've been praying for 5 months and now it comes time to invite them. You're going to be afraid because Satan, that's how he works. And so then you need to actually invite them and then bring those people to this event. And to do that, we need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. No doubt about that. you shall receive power, Jesus said, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses for me. That's what we need. And I love what one brother said in our first prayer meeting last week. Why do we wait until August? Why don't we start getting people saved right now? Amen? Well, I hope the Lord has spoken to you about this. Every one of us needs to carry this vision, and we start this morning. And we don't stop until August 26th, and then we don't even stop then. Then we have to work on discipling these people. And I'm praying that we'll see 100 people come to Christ. Wouldn't that be great? All of them lined up down here, the spotlight's on them, and we're praying like crazy. I hope we have to bring all the chairs into this place. I hope there's only standing room, and I hope it happens in every one of these churches that we've invited to do the same thing in their church and be praying for them. And I'm praying already because I know how pastors operate. When they see the email from Pastor Tom of Calvary Chapel, they're going to go, what does that guy know? You know, that's how pastors are. I'm praying that their people will hear this on the radio and go and say, how come we're not doing this? Let's do this, you know. Let's pray. In fact, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, we just gave you the method to get saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you're here this morning and you've never made that commitment to Christ, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Before we end our service, anybody at all, you raise your hand if you're not sure where you stand with Christ. Church, you be praying. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're so thankful. Thankful for this opportunity, Lord. And Lord, would you help us along the way? Help us to pray. Help us to be bold. Help us to invite people, Lord. Help us to get involved in whatever way we can, to encourage each other in this, Lord. We lift up this event to you, Lord, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, that he would be glorified in this place like at no other time, Lord. And we ask all of these things. We thank you for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all the believers said, amen.